Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Oh. This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios.
Woo! Woo!
We alter your locus aurelius by warming your synapses with rejuvenated radio waves. This warms your brain to a tasty and toasty 420 kelvins to keep a sin flood of statism out of your head. Can you feel it? Is it working? Can you feel it, Michael and Phil?
I'm good. I'm okay.
Oh, yeah.
Excellent. And as always, the Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org.
Woo. Woo, woo, woo. Yeah.
Woo.
Yeah, worms.
So.
Someone might be jumping on here. There's a Fiends co-host that wants to try out. And he's like, yeah, I even have Fiend Phone. When can we test? And I'm like, okay, here, log in. I don't think he knows we're doing a show or that I'm on the show. I think he might log in and, you know, be like, all right, I'm ready. And we're going to have to tell him not to cuss.
Well, this is a teaching hospice, so, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, with our luck, he'll log in, he'll be the loudest one, and he'll immediately drop an F-bomb for his first word.
That seems a little out of character for the individual we're talking about.
I was going to say, board op, turn on the cuss dump, but, well, you know, it's supposed to be on anyway, theoretically. So.
Allegedly.
Right on.
There's that voice.
Right on. There's that voice of God in our ear telling us. Confirming.
Selling us? What is he telling us? Wait about?
telling us that it's okay. It's going to be okay.
He's selling us a cryptocurrency.
It's okay.
Yeah, who wants to buy cryptocurrency? I'm selling Bitcoin for, let's see, a quarter Bitcoin to someone I know and like, and a Bitcoin for someone I don't know. Someone I don't know would have to go into, what's that called, escrow. But, yeah, it's... Bitcoin's still around. We just did some updates. We just prevented the alleged attack capability. Yeah, so Monero issued this thing that said that there was someone had found a hole in CryptoNote, which Bitcoin and Monero are based on. And like a month ago, they issued. Basically, they say they patched it in February and then didn't tell anybody. Like they said it was an update for something else and people updated their, you know, miners updated Monero software and it actually prevented this hole from happening that they said created the ability to create unlimited coins, which is crazy and wild. And, you know, I don't know enough about software to look at their thing and say, yeah, it actually did that. I mean, I think they're honest people, but wouldn't it be weird if they actually said, yeah, and then it, you know, the update didn't really, like that hole didn't really exist, and they're just trying to see who can see which in the competition believe it and which don't. But we updated to the code they said to add, so we're updated to the, they're just what?
Monero is just trolling Bitcoin into a panic.
Well, I'm not saying they're doing this. I'm just saying I looked at the thing and I couldn't see it, but I wouldn't know if it bit me on the head, which is why I'm selling a cryptocurrency for... And the cryptocurrency includes... Write to me at bitcoin.org. Bitcoin at gmail.com if you serious inquiries only. And it would include, let's see, the website, my blessings... on the forum. Yeah, no, because you'd have to have, like, you know, so-and-so is taking this over. Let's see what else. Some Bitcoin flags, some Bitcoin buttons and stickers, and 10,000 Bitcoin. So, yeah, that's what I'm selling. I'm about to write a book, and I can't do both things. It's just too time-consuming. But if you want to be able to say you own and run a cryptocurrency, write to me at Bitcoin. .org. And there's also a guy I know who's a programmer who you can probably pay to do updates, which is what I've been doing. But, you know, I was actually thinking, like, what if Monero said, hey, everyone update, and got everyone in a panic and got them to add code without really looking at it, and then, you know, made, like, we got kicked off of off of Cryptopia over this, and then they brought
Really?
And then, yeah, like they said, you know, suspended, not ended, but, you know, we weren't delisted, but they said we've temporarily suspended trading on crypto, on Bitcoin, and then they linked the Monero link about the bug. And we finally, when we patched it, I wrote them and said, hey, we patched it. Can you reinstate us? And I don't know if they looked at the code. I don't know if anyone understands it. They're great people. They probably looked at it, but within an hour, we were relisted, you know. Could be the Emperor's new bug, you know. I don't know.
Well, you did say there was only, it was essentially just a quick chunk of code that you just throw in, right?
Right. So
they could probably check it pretty quickly.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's easy to check if the code is added. What I think is, I don't know that some of the people adding it understand the code of what the fix is. You know, there's a lot of programmers that can add code and, you know, recompile something that runs. But, you know, who knows? It could. It's weird code, though. It's got like a link to Facebook in it. You know, it's got weird stuff in it, man. It's got a link to a Facebook link that isn't a link on Facebook. So if it ever comes out, you know, I'm not saying it was a big joke from Monero, but if it ever comes out that it was,
or one heck of a Trojan horse,
yeah, or a Trojan horse like to steal everyone's, yeah, but you know, put that in the show notes, Jeremy. Put something about Monero. You know, Michael talks about the patching of the Monero identified bug, so I can search this episode and say, see, I thought it out loud. I dared admit I don't understand the code of a cryptocurrency I'm running enough.
They forced us to put all of this code in our cryptocurrencies, and all it did was link to a Facebook page with Pepe's face.
I know it could. Who knows, man? Who knows? That Monero's kicking butt, though. They're like, they're doing millions of dollars a day. Their currency's up to, I don't know, what is it, double digits, 25, 50, something like that. I mean, it was $3 not long ago. You know, all the people who were like, you know, 6 months ago started going, ugh, I should have bought Bitcoin, you know, when it was headed towards the $2,000 it's at now, but wasn't near there yet. You know, what they could have done was gone and bought a bunch of Monero for $3, because now it's, what is it, Phil? You just got some, and it added up to 150, and what was it, five? So it's 30 each? Something like that?
Yeah, I think so.
So you could have had 1,000% return on investment in, you know, 8 months if you'd bought Monero when it was $3.
Also Ethereum. If people bought Ethereum a little while, I mean, I don't think it would have been that much of a boon. But
yeah.
You were also saying
that Ethereum's not being used to buy drugs. Monero is allegedly, because it's allegedly, you know, completely anonymous.
Supposedly. Yeah, but Ethereum has some more mainstream backing. That's
like
that's
Microsoft. Yeah,
pumping it up. Also financial backing, or not financial backing, but like fintech stuff.
Yeah, like banks are using software that's on the Ethereum chain.
Right.
Tokens.
And they got the seal of approval from Imogen Heap. So, you know, that's all you need to know.
Who is Imogen Heap? I know the name.
Imogen Heap is an electronica artist from England. She used to be
Imogene. Isn't it Imogene? Is that how you say that?
I don't know. I don't speak English.
I don't know what that is.
So an electronic, so some like musician said.
She did the really famous song. It was called Hide and Seek, and it's basically a whole bunch of layers of her voice singing.
I don't know what that is. But so what'd she do? She had a t-shirt and a video or what?
She released her album on Ethereum.
Released the album on Ethereum only could buy it with Ethereum?
No, she released it on the blockchain.
Oh, yeah. Interesting. Wow. That's hip, man. That's really hip.
Yeah.
That makes it take an extra 2 hours for the hackers to get it up on BitTorrent.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was the goal to try to avoid.
No, I'm kidding. I'm just saying, like, you know, usually everybody can. It just means somebody with Ethereum, you know, knowledge has to go buy it. Rudimentary knowledge has to go buy it and then put it up. But speaking of that's legit. So let's talk about a scam. Let's talk about this. Open up this thread I sent you that somebody posted yesterday. It was a Bitcoin phishing scam. So it's on the Bitcoin talk.org. And it's got the Bitcoin logo at the top. It's got the stats of Bitcoin. It looks like it's from people connected to Bitcoin. It basically says the Bitcoin chain is compromised, which it's not. Send me your Bitcoin, and I'll send you the new good Bitcoin, too, on the different new chain. So basically, someone cloned our software, probably pre-mined a whole bunch of it, and is trying to get suckers to send them, you know, Bitcoin, which is worth, cent and a half or something, you know, for him to send his worthless new Bitcoin. This is a, and it's a guy who's like, every post he does is yelling at people, too. Yeah. Anything interesting in this that you guys saw that's worth mentioning? It's kind of hard to read in and grok the whole thing, but...
Yeah, well, a lot of it is just tech jargon and hash addresses and stuff.
Well, he said, here's the lie. He says, I have tested the bug and verified by creating 19 million, he says, Bitcoins, not Bitcoins, on the current chain following the steps in the link above. So the link above is the Monero disclosure from May 17th. And, oh, by the way, if you have Bitcoin, if you have the CLI wallet or of Windows or Linux, go update. That's the bottom line in this. But most of the miners, the one exchange we're on, most of the miners and several people I know who are running multiple pools have updated. So and we've scanned the blockchain. He's lying. There are no 19 million extra Bitcoin. And he copied and pasted that. He did this with three coins. He did it with Cannabis Coin, which is XCI, who have not updated yet, I think. And he did it with Biker Coin, who had not updated as of yesterday. And Biker Coin is BIC, B-I-C. So he copied and pasted his scam and forgot to change BIC to BIP in this. Yeah, but wow, I don't smooth. Know. I feel sad for anyone that sends all their Bitcoin to him, but, you know, they're kind of deserve it if they're that stupid.
Yeah, that's one of the really obvious ones.
Yeah.
To do this, I mean, send me money first.
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't even smart enough to, like, hack our forum and put a link in, you know?
Worms.
He did something anybody could do. Worms. Meow. Worms. Meow.
Worms.
Worms. Meow.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
I love The Freedom Fiends, but in this modern busy world, I just don't have time to listen all the way through every episode.
There is a solution. Go to the World Wide Web and log on to digest.freedomfiends.com and subscribe to The Freedom Fiends Digest. Digest.freedomfiends.com has 20-minute best-ofs of each episode.
20-minute best-ofs? Digest.freedomfiends.com sounds great. How much does it cost?
That's the best part. It's free. And if you listen at 1.5 speed, they're only 13 minutes long. Plus, the episodes are only about 15 megs, which is great, because I have a limited data plan.
Wow. I'm at digest.freedomfiends.com right now. It's so simple to use. And anyone who doesn't have 13 minutes to listen to The Freedom Fiends is a big old statist.
I agree with you about people who can't find 13 minutes to listen to The Freedom Fiends Digest. That's digest.freedomfiends.com. Help.
Do your dogs ever do that, that weird growling thing where they just gnaw on their own tongue for a little bit? And so it sounds just kind of throaty.
Bean phone.
Yeah.
Furries. Bean phone. Furries. Freedom Fiends uninterrupted rectal examinations without... Wait, what? Sorry. Are we on?
Does it really count as a furry when you're one of the, when you're actually one of the scheduled hosts? I mean...
No. I was making a joke, but...
Gotcha.
Yeah.
You're back.
Yeah. Is Daryl Becker on yet?
No. I haven't.
I think he's asleep. It's, you know, it's 7:20 p.m. in Hawaii. It's past his bedtime. apparently. You know, I got a notice. I have a bulletin board notice for Nick Hazelton, who I wrote him about this issue recently, but he didn't write back, you know, because he's like
how would you say 80?
Yeah, he's like, you know, he's one of the young lions who's like not going to kill the old lion. He's just going to like ignore it. You know, I built him and now he won't return my emails. But he's not all that because he does have a really cool new podcast, but he's hosting it on a website that's not his domain. Like his Nick, what's it called? Yakin' with Nick, which is a much better name than...
Yes.
Anarcho-Yakitalist podcast, which was cool, but it was hard to pronounce and hard to spell, and it was an A-N-Y-K-A-K. It was weird. So that pod faded, and then he started a new podcast, which is cool, and is having regular episodes and sounds good, because I built that. But he's hosting on, like, I don't know, something else, you know, like one of those... Libsyn, right.
Which is the same service I actually use for
Well,
Liberty.
It's okay to host on Libsyn, but here's what he should be doing. He should be get the domain name Yakin' with Nick or whatever, something shorter even that makes sense that people can bookmark and run his RSS feed through that. So which the Libsyn allows, and they have like tutorials on how to do it. So Libsyn, you know, they're not going out of business. They've been around since podcasting started pretty much, but they do have terms of service, and who knows how that could change over time, because, I mean, terms of services are changing and getting creepier and more, like the other day, somebody got kicked off of, got Facebook jail for 3 days for using the term FGT, which is a nickname for another word you can't say on radio, but that you can, you know, he's not homophobic. He was saying it with, as a joke to a friend and got kicked off Facebook for that for a week or five days or something. Yeah.
Well, it's getting. That's pretty.
Go ahead.
I think I was going to say the same thing where you were headed. Yeah, it's getting insane at this point. Because
And this is a trend, and this is going to set us up for our next segment where we're going to talk about Facebook's new rules that change constantly. So basically, when you build your, I recommend against building your empire on someone else's property. You know, because basically they can kick you off at any time. And then all of the goodwill, for virtually any reason, and it's getting more and more and more silly, the reasons people are getting kicked off. And it's not just Facebook. And it's a Silicon Valley trend, basically, of loud nannies screaming at them and, you know, threatening, oh, I'm not going to use Google anymore if you don't censor things and put, you know, things on the front page about how women need to get into, you know, here's the latest, we'll give women money to take STEM college courses. But get the domain, get a domain name, get, you know, whatever it is, get Yakin' with Nick or YWK or something dot something, so people can bookmark that and have that and just get to your site if you ever get kicked off Libsyn, and then you will be truly bad butt and be able to not return my emails with aplomb. You'll deserve it. You'll deserve to say, Michael who? But you can't until you do that. So do that, Nick.
Get on that, Yak Boy.
Yeah, Yak Boy. All right. So what else? So do you want to talk about this thing with Facebook? Do you have it up?
Yeah, actually, I do. It's, I'll start it now and get it to more than the next segment. But this came from The Guardian, and I think this actually came out just today, actually. But it's the headline was Revealed, Facebook's Internal Rulebook on Sex, Terrorism, and Violence. And it's basically it's some kind of leaked document that came out that was supposedly the inner workings of how Facebook determines what they get rid of automatically and what they don't, type of thing. And you know, as you were mentioning, somebody getting banned from Facebook temporarily for using an abbreviation of a word, which is the thing. But there's so many other complaints about
meow.
Yeah. We'll talk.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Antiwar, pro-free market. That's antiwar.com.
Worms.
Man.
You're editing tonight.
Right?
You're editing tonight, right?
Yes. I got that.
Yeah. So. Thanks.
Right on top of that rose.
What? What's that from?
Oh, what movie is that? Oh, I was about to say Adventures of Babysitter. No, don't tell mom that Babysitter's dead.
I saw a good show the other day. It was on, it was called Adventures in Marmot Sitting or something. It was, what was it? It was one of those Bob's Burgers episode.
Oh, never seen that show.
It's pretty good. It's the guy who plays the husband is the same guy that voices Archer on Archer. But, you know, whereas on Archer, he plays kind of an alpha male jerk. On Bob's Burgers, he plays kind of a beta male dumpy guy. But, you know, it's the same formula as every sitcom going back to the Honeymooners. Like, you know, they all yell at each other, but they love each other and love their children. Like even Homer Simpson does.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, have you seen Get Me Roger Stone?
No.
It just hit Netflix. I've only seen about a third to a half of it, but it's about this guy that does campaign planning for Republican presidents from Nixon up to Trump, and he did the Trump campaign, and the dude is a total sociopath, and it's really kind of lays bare some of the just naked despicableness of politics in America.
It's a documentary?
Yeah, it's a documentary. It's Get Me Roger Stone. So
who yells that line into a phone to name the movie after it, or every president ever yells that?
Probably every president ever, but I've only seen the first like third to a half of it, so I haven't finished it yet.
Is it a series or a movie?
It's a movie.
Is it on Netflix or Amazon?
Netflix.
Is it on Netflix or Amazon? Like, I don't even ask what channel it's on anymore. Those two are just kicking butt so hard. Like, Netflix just signed...
Those are your channels, Michael.
Yeah, those are your channels. And Netflix now has, like, God, they have a movie with... Who's the actor? The guy, you know, the guy from Fight Club? The more famous one? Brad Pitt. They're doing a movie with Brad Pitt. They're doing a movie directed by Scorsese. You know, they're really kicking butt.
That's got to make Edward Norton feel good, being known as the less famous guy.
Well, if he's listening and feels bad, hey, I'll give you a good deal on a cryptocurrency. That'll make your day. Drop me an email at bipcoin@gmail.com. Go ahead, Phil.
Oh, I was just going to say, you were the better Hulk, but not the better Hulk movie.
What's that from? Oh, him?
No, that's
he was
from
a Hulk?
Me. Yeah, he played Hulk before the guy who's doing it now, but he quit for some reason. I don't remember why. But.
Have you ever seen
the movie? That movie didn't do very well, maybe?
Speaking of the guy that was in that movie, have you seen the movie called The Guy Who Was In That Thing? Or in that movie? It's a documentary about supporting actors.
Yeah, I've heard of it. I never saw it.
It's called something like, you know, that guy who was in that thing. And it's, you know, like everyone in it. They interview all these people in it who've like all been working steadily in Hollywood for 20 or 30 years. They all kind of look like they could be leading men. They're all kind of handsome and, you know, rough and tumble, but they never, you know, made it to a leading part. But they're always the sidekick or, you know, the sidekick if it's Brad Pitt is the star, and they're the sidekick if Ed Norton's the star, and they're, you know, the sidekick's friend if Brad Pitt's the star. Those guys.
Yeah, like the Jeremy Renners of the world.
I don't know who that is.
Well, he's bounced up the ladder, man. He's done.
Well, they tried to make him they tried to make him the new Bourne, and I don't think it did very well. So
oh, Jeremy Renner, yeah,
the guy.
Wasn't he also the guy, the main character in that bomb disposal movie? What's it called?
Hurt Locker.
Hurt Locker. Yeah, isn't that him?
No. Was it? I didn't think so.
I think it is.
You know where I know him from? I know him from the TV show Angel.
Jeremy Renner is the star. He's the main character in The Hurt Locker. He's such the guy in that thing. You've probably seen that movie and don't remember that he's that guy. He's
Hawkeye from The Avengers, man. That's all I need to know.
Yeah, well, that's what made him. But he's been the supporting role much stuff.
Yeah, but was it, his breakout was SWAT, wasn't it? With, It was like one of the old guys. Oh, geez, I can't remember his name. The SWAT with Samuel L. Jackson and all those people. Anyway.
Well, I can say probably not, because I have no idea what
movie you're talking about.
There's got to be a name in this about this in the title. It's got to be like, you know, the Freedom Fiends talk about that movie with that guy in it. I mean, we're like, nobody remembers what we're talking about here. So I looked it up. The movie is called The Guy Who Was In That Thing. It's the guy, ellipsis, .. who was in that thing. Now, this is really exciting. I didn't know this. There is a sequel called That Gal Who Was In That Thing. That guy, too. So it's the same documentary, but with women.
I was going to say, there's sequels to documentaries. I've never heard that before. But
well, I'm just going to say, score one for the patriarchy, because even when the girls got in the title, the guy still got on the title.
Yeah, well, sequels always make sense, because you don't have to do as much money on marketing for the second one. Because, you know, there are people like me who saw the first one who will instantly go, oh, I'll go watch the second one for free on the torrents or Netflix or Amazon.
Allegedly.
Those are the three channels, allegedly. Yeah. Or Plex, but we can't talk about that, Jeremy.
I don't know. I don't know what you're referring to at all, Michael.
I don't know either. I have no idea. Yeah. All right. So
Plex sounds like one of those things on my Roku that I try to get to work and never does. So I gave
up. Yeah. Let's talk about. If you got problems talking to me during the break, let's talk about the other channel, Facebook. Ugh, I hate that. That's the main channel. Really, it's really sick. I talk about quitting all the time and just can't. You know, because all my friends are on there. It's sick. Phil.
Yeah. Yes. It really is an addiction. But the Facebook, and funny that you bring up Facebook, because I was about to say that Netflix is so much bigger than TV that it, and actually Facebook also, are one of the, I think, five stocks that essentially pushed the entire rally in the Dow Jones rally for the last.
I bet Apple wasn't even one this time, huh? Are they still one?
I don't remember. Yeah. I just know that Facebook and Netflix were one, because Netflix kind of stood out to me, because it was one of those, dang, I knew they were big, but I didn't know they were that big.
Yeah. Amazon has to be one of them. Amazon kicking butt. More and more, I ask people, what do you do for a living? They're like, oh, I work at Amazon. And if they don't work at Amazon, they work at UPS delivering things for Amazon, which is pretty much what UPS does now.
I don't work at Amazon.
Not around here, man.
I know where you live.
Well, they deliver some stuff for Amazon.
Need to learn C++ better.
The post office delivers for Amazon around here.
Yeah. Oh, no. Okay, so Sunday, going back before I forget all these. So, Phil, learn C++ better, and you'll be relearn it again, and you'll be working at Amazon. And I want to clarify, Facebook is not an addiction in that I spend a lot of time on there. I do not spend a lot of time on there. I spend less than an hour a day on there. Yeah, like I'm repetitive. I'm a repeat offender. I go there every day, at least once, and usually twice. And but I'm not living on there like some people. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with those people, other than they're addicted to this, basically probably CIA designed. You know, if the CIA did not design Facebook, they might as well have, because it just it basically. You guys have seen that meme, right? It's got a picture of an Amazon, what's the tube you yell at, Alexa? Yeah. And it says, people in the 60s, the government is tapping your phone. People now, hey, wiretap, can my cat eat pancakes?
Yeah.
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 Yeah. I just today posted a Pearls Before Swine comic, and it was so Pearls Before Swine is this comic with these various animals. It goes in the newspaper. Yeah, it's Stephen Pastis. Stefan Pastis. It's one of my favorite, probably my favorite comic. But the rat character is wearing a tinfoil hat, and he's super paranoid about government. He was telling about how it's spying on everybody, and the goat character is talking to him. He's like, dude, you know, they'd have to pin a microphone and a camera and a tracking device to every single person in America. And
they have.
They look around, and everybody's on their phone, so...
Yeah,
the goat
yeah.
puts on an aluminum foil hat.
Oh, good. Yes, and it is aluminum foil, not tin foil these days. But
right,
you know, I predicted this in probably 1996 when I first got on the internet at home. I was not one of these people that had an Amiga at home, you know, on bulletin boards in the 80s. But I went a few times to the San Francisco Public Library and used Gopher to access. FTP files of books and go, oh, I'm on the internet, and then had a couple chats with people in, you know, text chats, but you know, they could have been in the same room as far as I know. I don't know. But and then I worked at one of the first web cafes ever, basically. It was in late 1995. It wasn't a cafe. It was a restaurant at 9th and Folsom in San Francisco. And if you're from San Francisco, you know that 9th and Folsom on the corner that's toward down, the financial district, whatever corner that is, every business there lasts like 9 months. Like, it is a perpetual, it's one of those locations that's like perpetually failing. And it was a steak restaurant, and it was my first job pretty much sober. No, my first job sober was being an elevator operator. Yes, that still existed at a ballet school in San Francisco. And then my second job sober was being a dishwasher and basically barback at probably the first web cafe in the world, or one of them, the first like place you could eat, drink, and use the internet. But the problem was, and probably why they failed, was they thought it would be a great idea to put the biggest like projection screens of your screen up on the wall. Like, they thought that's how social networking would work. Like, you'd want everyone to see everything you're doing, including probably typing passwords, because I don't think passwords were even, you know, stars back then, asterisks. But, yeah, so that I got on the internet some there after work. And then I had DSL at home in my house in 1996. And around, in the first year I had DSL at home, I remember posting somewhere something to the effect of, like, you know, we all thought that 1984 would come in the form of a boot kicking in our door and putting in a telescreen. But no, people are lining up and paying for it themselves to wire everything, you know. And I didn't even picture that. Well, actually, there were mobile devices not long after that. There were Blackberries, but before that, there were, what were they? Palm handsprings and Palm Pilots.
Palm Pilots?
Yeah, they had modems.
Yeah.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Hi there. This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. Purse.io is a great website where you can spend Bitcoin on Amazon or trade Amazon gift cards for Bitcoin. I use Purse myself and I love it. You can also get discounts on Amazon. You can get 5% right this minute, or if you place your order and wait a day or so, you can name your discount and get 10%, 20%, even up to 33% off. You can try Purse right now and get 0.01 Bitcoin free after you complete your first order over $50. And if you go through the Freedom Fiends link, Purse will also send 0.01 Bitcoin to the Freedom Fiends. Help yourself to some agorism and help Liberty Media while you're at it. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Purse link at the top right, even if you've used Purse before. Or enter the referral code FIENDS when you sign up at purse.io. That's FIENDS. Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra. Do it.
Discovered a flaw in his Fiend phone setup, and it's going to allow the minting of unlimited Fiend phones if he doesn't patch it.
Yeah, anybody want to buy a Fiend phone?
Want to buy a Fiend phone? Yeah. People have actually tried to buy Fiend phone, but then they never come through. Like, we've had 3 or 4 emails in 2.5 or 3 years of people saying, like, I'm blah, 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 and I have a corporation, and I want to... None of them are ever clear in what they want, and I always end up yelling at them, and they go away. I mean, they're not people who have it together, I can tell, you know, and like... But one guy actually had a corporation. I looked it up, and it has employees, one, and like, you know, the total amount made last year was like $47,000. So it's basically, you know, a guy who incorporated, and that's his corporation. So,
what's he going to say? Anybody could be a corporation. I used to be a corporation.
It's horrible. Don't do it. Yeah. Well, I don't know. There's reason to do it sometimes, but. If you're making documentary, if you're making films and you have some money, I would recommend, not that this is legal advice, but then you might be a candidate to incorporate, because then if your movie gets sued for some reason, it's harder to sue you for everything or your other movies for everything. But
yeah,
for what I've... Legal, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's originally why I got mine, because it was about legal protections for myself in case something happened down the line like that.
But if you do movies, the usual thing to do is to make a different LLC for each movie too, so they can't take the stuff from the other movie as easy. But
I didn't even think of that. That makes sense.
Yeah, that's pretty much always. Like if you look at, you know, if you look in the credits of most big indie movies, you know, they'll say then, you know, copyright owned by the name of the film company, you know, the guy who was in that thing company, LLC. Or something like that. Yeah. And, you know, LLC is not technically a corporation. It's limited liability
corporation
company.
Oh,
the C stands for company. Yeah. It acts like a corporation, but it's not.
So really,
everyone thinks it's a secret.
That's the secret. You can just create an LLC for every different dog you walk, and
it'll be great. Yeah. Yep. And then if one of them gets lost, when other people say, I'm not going to let you walk my dogs anymore, you can say, nope, that dog was covered by its own LLC. You have to still let me walk your dog. It's in our charter.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure they already have BIPCOT no-gov license stickers on their butts, right? So,
of course. But if it wasn't for the filing cost for every LLC, that might be
interesting
one route to take. But
it's like $500. Oh, tell about mine getting rid of an LLC, and then we'll do Facebook in the next hour.
Oh, well, getting rid of one here in New York was such a pain in the butt. Like, they made it so difficult to get rid of mine. I called up because there was this company that somehow was connected to my LLC
They're the agent of record is what that's called. There's a lot of companies that do that. Whenever you see, like, you may start your own company. Actually, they usually say start your own corporation for $500. Yeah, LegalZoom does it.
I did LegalZoom. Yeah. It was like $200 to get a.
We're doing an anti ad for LegalZoom. Free Talk Live does ads talking about how great they are. So
I have no problem with LegalZoom itself, but it was getting out of it. Like once the
We did our wills with LegalZoom, but you know, getting out of a will is you just make another will on LegalZoom.
Well, yeah, but but it wasn't even them. Like the agent that I got hooked up with through them that I had to pay was the middleman. I had to pay a fee to every year that helped control my LLC with the state. I was trying to get in contact with them for over like a year and a half because I had questions about this bill they kept sending me, and they would never get back to me. So I just decided to stop paying it, and that's when they started sending me more letters. And like, I finally had to go to the state and was like, I'm trying to get rid of this. Like, and they told me I had to go through this company in order to start the process. But like, it was just, I kept getting passed back and forth. And then when I finally got through to somebody at this company, after like almost 2 years of trying to track these people down and get somebody on the phone, they told me that they couldn't do it, that I was going to have to write letters to them and get them notarized and letters to the state. And I ended up snapping on this woman one day to the point where she got so flustered that she somehow managed to change the rules and finally got my LLC dissolved. But it was like a nightmare. Like they wanted me to jump through so many hoops to get it dissolved and pay more money. And I was like, no.
So you're
well, the state
the
owned you.
Isn't
yeah.
perfectly efficient.
No. Not.
You know,
well.
The government's kind of like the Rolling Stones. You know what they used to say about the Rolling Stones? I think some biker gangs used to say this too. It's like, you don't walk out of the Rolling Stones. You're carried out of the Rolling Stones.
That's the way it should be.
That's how the government is, though. Yeah, that's how it is with the Fiends, though. Yeah. You don't quit the Fiends. You're carried out of the Fiends.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
And go on the sidebar of the Freedom Fiend site. We now have Amazon links for Amazon US, Amazon UK, and Amazon Canada due to popular demand. Worms.
Angry growl.
It's hard to tell the angry growl from the satisfied growl with me. They both kind of sound like.
This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting through the Libertarian Reeducation Center's low orbit ion cannon, high atop Financial Beast Plaza on the artificial satellite LibPair 2017 in the Austin region. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org. I almost did it again. and Diana's not even on tonight.
I was getting Shane Buell, who's gonna try out live being a fiend. I was getting him up to snuff on what it takes to be a fiend and not cuss and, you know, not say things that aren't even cussed. And itch in trouble, and he's like, "What about the BIPCOT.org? Can you say that?" And I'm like, "You probably shouldn't your first few shows, but we do once in a while. Especially, my theory is too. The later in the second hour, you can probably do more because we're. If your children are awake and listening to the radio, and you're not cool with that, you're not a good parent. That's what I think." Sure, what are your kids doing at 1 a.m. listening to the radio?
Hey, yeah. They got to learn sometime, man.
Oh, I'm fine with it. I'm fine with your kids listening to this show.
I don't think they regularly listen to it. Well, they listen to me, which is much worse than listening to the show because in real life I don't have to worry about not cussing. So
Daryl Becker's psyched to try out live on the Fiends. He just emailed me. I said, "Here's my phone number." I said, "Here's my phone number. Don't give it out to anybody." And he said, "And I said, what's yours?" And he says, "Here's mine." And he said, "I wouldn't knowingly share your phone number or info." And I wrote back like, "That's an interesting choice of words. Would you unknowingly share it?" yeah.
Hey, just covering his bases. I like that.
I know. Well, you know, plausible I mean, basically. Deniability. Isn't that what the government says when they hold your data? Like, you know, they want to have backdoors to everyone's computers, but they can't even keep their own sinister tools under wraps. So how would we trust them if we believed we should trust them? If they want us to believe that, they're ridiculous. They're just ridiculous. Yes, yeah. The government.
We will not knowingly share your data. But we reserve the right to redefine the word we and knowingly.
And knowingly, yes, and data.
Data. Exactly.
Yeah. And share.
And share.
Pretty much every word.
Did you work at a law firm? Were you a paralegal? Are you a notary public, Phil?
No, but I'm proud to have that superlative of fiend most likely to be a notary republic.
Yeah.
Or a notary republic. Obviously.
You did it too.
Phil, will you notify this document for me? Notarize. Notify. We talked
document
about this during the break.
Notified.
I said if I thought Phil, you know, first I said he was the most likely to have had an Amiga and be programming at 8. And then I asked him, if he was a notary public, and he was like, I said, you know, if any of the fiends were, I think it'd be you. And he's like, why would you think that? I'm like, why not? Look at the guy. He has his life together. Cause he's, you know, although notary is usually a job of someone, it's often a job of someone who doesn't do much else. Like, you know, oh, sometimes, you know, in a supermarket, like the clerk will be a, you know, so like the secretary, I used to go to the secretary at a travel agency up the street in Los Angeles back when travel agencies were a thing, which I'm surprised they still were even then, like 10 years ago. But, wow, you know,
seriously. My local one that I go to, well, actually my cousin who's a lawyer is one too. And if he's not around,
that's common.
The one I go to locally is the clerk, one of the clerks at the local UPS store. And it's the little old woman, the little old hunchback woman who moves like ridiculously slow, but she's the one who's the notary there. So, you know, go there and throw her a couple of bucks to get all my stuff done. There's those, like you said, it's usually those type of people, like just some random clerk at some store or someplace. That's their thing. Well, you know, but they're handy, you know, because you got, when, you know, in the system, you got to use it, unfortunately. So many stupid things that have to be notarized.
The blockchain, you know, the internet, the blockchain has replaced that.
Well, it's going to, yes, I believe so too, but
oh, it can.
Hasn't yet, it hasn't yet, because not enough people understand it.
Yeah. Someone gave me a death threat once, and I didn't tell anyone about it, but I put it in the Namecoin blockchain. I registered a domain that was like so-and-so threatened to kill me today .bit is the name of the domain. So
nice.
If anyone ever kills me, go find that one.
I was going to ask, what'd you get it notarized? It was going to be a joke.
I got it notified. Yeah.
Got it notified.
Yep. Yep. Daryl Becker was kidding about the knowingly. But he was also saying that, you know, things can be swiped. It's kind of interesting. Maybe that should be at the bottom of my signal and everything.
Pro tip, folks. If you're going to email Michael during a show, expect him to read what you write on the show.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. In case you weren't aware.
I mean, you know, if it's something that obviously requires privacy, but yeah.
I know. It's just funny because you're just like, you're just reading his responses.
Yeah.
Like offhandedly.
I'm not even thinking. I forget the audience is here. I'm talking to my friends, man. That's why you should do it. So let's talk about something sad now that we're all laughing, and then we can go back to laughing. So Chris Cornell died, possibly of autoerotic asphyxiation. Ooh, too soon?
Jeez.
Has anyone said that? I mean, you know, rock stars.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, I did too. Yeah.
Well, I didn't people say making the jokes, truth. But
yeah.
Did you say it in public, Phil?
I commented on something saying it, and I said, oh, better not tell Adam Kokesh, because he'll say it was autoerotic asphyxiation. Because Adam Kokesh said that about Robin Williams when Robin Williams killed himself, with like zero evidence or anything. He just
Here's my thing. I don't think it's that for either of them, but I think they both had depression, and I don't know. It's between them and their family, so I hope never hear this podcast. But it's kind of a weird form of suicide for someone that would have pretty much unlimited resources, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, someone that rich could pay someone to kill him, you know? So I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. His wife's blaming the drugs. So
yeah. Alex Jones is blaming the drugs too. A lot of people are, but
that's also one of those things is if you are in that state and you are, it can be something that sort of crosses your mind.
A doctor can do it.
It's like, I have to do it now. And yeah. I'm going to.
Oh, I thought you meant in the state of Washington, because isn't suicide legal there? Oh, no, it's Oregon. Yeah, but I don't think you can go to the doctor and say, I'm depressed. Kill me. I think you have to be, you know, dying of something
that
slow
state
and painful.
Of mind or that,
okay, yeah, I know.
That cognitive state.
Yeah. Well, and that would fit at least with the timeline of events, because he had just been out doing a show like less than 2 hours before he was found, I think, or somewhere around that time frame was when he, you know, 2 hours.
And what? So the post-show depression?
Well, not even just, well, just like, well, yeah, it could be, but I would just say with how Phil was saying, it just may come, like, it wasn't premeditated. It just came on, like, all of a sudden, like, I need to do this right now, like, you know, maybe coming down.
Yeah,
on that
yeah, and doesn't have time to go buy a gun or buy a bunch of heroin or buy a bunch of sleeping pills. Or although,
yeah,
you know, the sleeping pill he was on, you could probably take 50 of them and die. But, you know, the thing, when people do legal suicide, and this is not a tip on how to kill yourself, but if you take a bunch of pills, you also need to take an anti-emetic to keep you from throwing them up. That's pretty much, you know, like the people who write literature on, you know, how to kill yourself if you're dying of cancer and it's not legal in your state. It's basically, you know, I mean, doctors will even do this. They'll prescribe, like, you know, 50 phenobarbital and an anti-emetic. And you take the anti-emetic and then wait 20 minutes and then you take the phenobarbital. And it's pretty much like a 99.9% you know, if no one finds you, you're going to be dead. If someone finds you, you'll be brain dead when they pump your stomach. But, yeah, so I don't have, I have no connection to him. Well, okay, I have a weird connection. Jason Everman, who used to be in Soundgarden, who got kicked out of Soundgarden in Nirvana, I slept with Jason Everman's girlfriend, and when he found out, he threw up. So that's pretty much my only connection to Soundgarden. Come on, guys, that's funny. It's true, but it's funny. Yeah.
Wow. I was trying to think of something to say, and I was just like, wow, that's just very weird. That's one of the weirdest connections I've ever
had.
Yeah. And, back the onion.
I never met any of them. The drummer in Soundgarden, Matt Cameron, was a fan of my band Bomb. But other than that, I don't know that any of them knew he existed, unlike other people in Seattle. But the only story I have about him.
Dead guys in Seattle?
Other dead guys in Seattle, yeah. The only connection I have to him is random and personal. It's a fan connection, which is pretty much what everybody who's giving an opinion on it has. And my mine is kind of cool and weird, is that he's part of the reason I'm still alive in a way, because I used to go to I got clean going to AA meetings, but also before that and in conjunction with that, going to the Haight-Ashbury Detox Clinic, which is a thing in San Francisco, largely privately funded. And there was this really hip nurse there, this kind of like girl next door looking lady named Wendy. And I'm saying her name because there's people that listen to this show who know standing in line to get your medicine at this clinic and know Wendy and liked Wendy. So Wendy was really cool. And Wendy was kind of like one of the reasons, like, you know, when I'd feel like relapsing and, oh, I can't stay clean, this is horrible, I'm sick, you know, like, go get my, you know, anti-nausea medicine from Wendy, from the nurse there. And she was so smiley, and she remembered my name, and she was so sweet and nice to me that it helped me stay clean. And I was like, oh, someday I can get a girlfriend like that if I stay clean. And on the wall in the dosing room at the Haight-Ashbury Clinic, and there's people listening who are going to be like, yep, I remember that poster. There was a poster of Chris Cornell in his Jesus Christ pose, you know, back in the day. And it's weird, like, you know, in a clinic that's completely anonymous, to have like a poster of a rock star who's, you know, not a drug user and not in recovery there. Like, it just seemed weird, but it was cool. I think maybe he donated money to the place, because I know that a lot of musicians donate money to that place. But just seeing his face every day, I was like, ah, he has it all. Maybe someday I can have it together, you know? So, but I win. That's not the title of the show. I was thinking of that, but
yeah.
No, I'm sad. I'm sad he's dead, man.
Yeah.
And every, well, you know, we got more. We'll be back. Too soon.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
The Michigan Peace and Liberty Coalition is proud to present the 5th Annual Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest. It will be held at the Circle Pine Center in Delton, Michigan, just outside of Kalamazoo, starting Thursday, June 22nd, and going through Monday, June 26th. That's right, Liberty Fest is getting longer and stronger. There will be presentations, discussions, bacon duels, and outdoor activities in an environment that is both family and grown-up friendly. There will be special appearances by Jeffrey Tucker, Dana Martin, and a few of the Freedom Fiends. If you have only talked about what a free society would look like, this is your chance to live it and see it with your own eyes. Now round up your friends and family and get them registered today at mplfest.org. And there's a discount for paying with Bitcoin. That's mplfest.org. Dogs welcome. Longer leashes recommended.
Yep.
We were talking sad news before we went to the break.
Oh, yeah. And I said something that was too soon. I said, I win, because I'm still alive and he's not. But here's something sad and interesting about Chris Cornell. I went and Googled a bunch of interviews with him the other day, because I really liked the band. They weren't one of my favorite bands. Like, I didn't own everything they had, but... And I kind of got into them late. Like, I actually... walked by a show they were playing in a club I used to be able to get in free and was with a girl. And I was like, I'm going to go home and be with the girl. I'm not going to go in the Kennel Club and see them for free. But that record they did that had Black Hole Sun on it, I mean, that is like their Sgt. Pepper. And they just became amazing at that point. And I really loved that record. But I'd never heard an interview with him. So I went and checked out some interviews with him. And most interviews he's done, he's being asked about dead rock stars he knew who died of drugs. It's really weird. Like,
wow.
You know, talk about Kurt Cobain and talk about Andrew Wood from Mother Love Bone. And thank you for the board op, Jason, whispering in our ear like the voice of God when the hamster in our brain couldn't remember his name. Although I was considered for replacing him. I was on the short list. But was not tried out because they got, who is it? Eddie Vedder.
The short bus, Michael?
Yeah, on the short bus to replace Andy Wood when they were basically going to go on as the same band. But, you know, they were like, hey, let's get that other blonde heroin addict to who sings. And then they thought, no, not a good idea. But, yeah, so go back and check out his interviews. And he says the same thing in every interview. He's pretty eloquent. He's, and you know, soft-spoken and talks really slow. It's difficult when he's interviewed by someone who talks fast. Like, there's an interview of KROQ, the radio station in L.A. or wherever. And, like, you know, somebody said, this interview should be called Radio Guy Talks and Occasionally Chris Cornell Gets a Word In. Kind of like you guys and me. But, yeah, and the thing he says over and over and over is, you know, famous people die all the time, but so do people you've never heard of who are like, you know, carpenters and bricklayers and work in offices. And he was basically saying, like, you know, think about the people who aren't rock stars who die of drugs and depression. So
actually,
that's his message.
I was going to say, I do actually recall hearing him say that line at least a couple of times, so that makes sense.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I listened to five interviews, and he said it in four of them, you know?
Yeah.
Because I think the only time people really asked him detailed interview questions, it was about rock stars who died, and, you know, like, how can we prevent this? What's wrong? What's the government need to, you know, just ridiculous questions. But there's not really an answer. A friend of mine recently said he wanted to do, like, a Soundgarden tribute band to raise money for suicide prevention, and, oh, do it if you want, but I just think that's not going to change anything. You know, when people are determined to kill themselves, they'll do
it. Yeah,
I'm not saying suicide prevention is ridiculous, but I think that idea just, you know, there's better things you could do with your time. But
I don't know.
Say it. Tell me your thoughts on suicide prevention. I'm all open. I don't like suicide. I know a lot of people.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't see if somebody wants to put their time and effort into that. I don't see it as a lost cause because, you know, I mean, Plenty of, you hear plenty of stories of people that, or people that, even though they write their letters, but that nobody listened, or, you know, they if they had somebody to talk to, things might have been different type of deal.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I guess it can't, and, you know, I mean, and then you get into the whole other situation with the pharmaceuticals and stuff like that, whether that does have an impact or not, you know. I don't know, man. I don't think it can hurt. So I'm the opinion that, you know, go for it.
I mean, the other thing too is, like, you know, people say, like, I should have done something when I saw the signs. And for a lot of people, doing something is like calling the authorities, which I don't think is a good idea, because then the cops show up and just shoot you. But
that's happened. That's actually happened a couple of times in the past couple of years with kids. A couple? Unfortunately, at least
dozens.
A dozen. I don't know all the stories.
99.999% of the time. I don't know. I don't have the numbers. Failure statistician. Yeah, give me the stats.
I was just going to say.
Give me the stats on number of percentage of times police show up and shoot a suicidal person.
Oh, I have no idea.
Okay. He's keeping his status as a good statistician by not making something up or guessing. I like that.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah. Meow. Oh, people. I don't know. I'm going to bury you all. Health problems and all. My dad's coming up on 96, man. So there.
Good genes.
Yep. Half good genes. Oh, my mother lived to be 75. That's not bad.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
Yeah. All right. Got a couple things to clear up. Then we're going to talk about Facebook. And why the government's bad, and why Facebook is the government, basically. But it's so addictive. The government made a way for people to want to go to it. I like what Nima Vdadi says, is he says he doesn't really picture government going away, but he pictures it becoming less and less important to people, to where, he thinks in 5 years, government will be like MySpace. 300 million registered users and no one's logged on in 5 years.
That's the optimum.
That's the goal. I think that's a realistic goal. Yeah. Maybe 10 years. But so I mentioned that I had DSL internet at my house in 1996, and Phil was flabbergasted. So in 1996, you could get DSL in probably 10 cities in America, like San Francisco, New York, D.C., Houston, Chicago, maybe Atlanta. You know, big cities with lots of people, big important cities with lots of tech stuff too, tech industry. And here's the kicker. You had to be within 1,000 feet of a telephone company building. And I happened to be at 639 Bush in San Francisco. I was like 950 feet from that phone junction building down on Bush Street. So I was able to get it because they sent it over copper pots, plain old telephone service lines back then, DSL. And, you know, past 1,000 feet from the phone company, it would just degrade to the point where DSL wouldn't work. So, yep, it was cool. It was nice. It was like $40, too, back then. And that's like $55 or $60 now, probably. It was expensive, man, and it didn't work all the time. But, hey, I have DSL as backup in Wyoming, and it works all the time, and my cable doesn't work all the time here. So, Chris Cornell, dead. I'm sad. I'm not, like, weep. I didn't weep about it. You know, I said recently that, like, when certain rock stars died, I cried, and that I didn't cry right away when my daughter died. And somebody did a post about that. They didn't say my name, but they said something like, you know, it's sick when people cry over dead rock stars and not over their family members. And I wasn't not sad when my daughter died. I was in shock when my daughter died.
It's a lot more personal, so obviously.
It took a couple months to cry. It took a couple months to sleep, man. I was sleeping like 3 hours a night, maybe, you know. So
sure.
So F you if you think I think Kurt Cobain's death was more important to me than Amelia Worth's death.
Hello.
I think Michael might be droned.
Michael got droned in the middle of that? Oh, yeah. Unfortunate. I was up. Oh, he back? Up. Oh, now he's gone. Nope.
He's back and back away.
He was buffering hard, but I was going to say I was going to agree with him. Yeah, of course he was. You know, he was obviously in shock with his daughter. So anybody who
fiend phone, fiend phone.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
as far yeah. as. The, I said this on my other show, The Seeds of Liberty, the other night, that because we talked about it that night, that I didn't break down in tears either over Chris Cornell, but it this one actually hit me harder than all the other ones that you know you had talked about, Michael, all the other one, how other people's deaths have had
effect. Were you a big fan?
I actually was and when I talked about this, it's because his voice that was just like has always his actual voice always resonated with me. Not even necessarily the words all the time, although I did like a lot of his lyrics and stuff like that. Because I followed him from Soundgarden to when he did some of his solo stuff, and then Audioslave.
It was a powerful voice, man.
Yeah, so it just like his was.
I like what Bill Burr said. Bill Burr said is the only singer who sings really high and powerful. That if Bill Burr was driving around listening to it loud with his windows open and he stopped at a red light, he didn't turn it down a little bit embarrassed. You know, like if he's listening to metal or something with high screechy stuff, he'd turn it down. But with that guy, he didn't have to. I like that.
Yeah, well, for me, it was, I could hear it from, like, a distance, and as long as, like, I heard a note and know it was him, because that, it just, that, his voice just, like, stuck with me, and it was just, like, it did things to me where I was just, like, I was just in awe anytime I heard him sing, so.
Did it put its finger up in your spine and wiggle it around?
Pretty much, yeah. And, you know,
I knew that's what you're getting at.
There's even he just was it not even 2 years ago, less than 2 years ago, he did a song with the country band Zac Brown that quickly became one of my favorite songs, and it's just, you know, just because it's his voice, just anytime I hear his voice. So yeah, it definitely affected me and gave me the sads. So yeah. Huh. Because of all the other ones, because people also talk about how, like, you know, Eddie Vedder's now like the only one left because everybody else is pretty much gone. You know, Kurt's gone. Scott Weiland died too, didn't he? I forget.
You know who Phil? You know who made Phil cry when he died was Paul Erdos.
I don't know who that
sure.
is.
Yeah, sure. Paul. Yeah, Phil knows who that is. You don't know who that is? No. Paul Erdos. He's a famous mathematician who broke a bunch of ground that no one else had done, and he also was basically a homeless speed freak and died at like 83. He's from Budapest. There's something called an Erdos number too. It's like a Bacon number, but he did papers with so many people. Basically what he would do is go to people, like go and lecture somewhere, and someone would be like, "You are so great. You must come to dinner at my house. My wife will cook for you." And then they'd cook for him, and then he'd say, like, "Hey, can I spend the night here?" And then he'd end up staying weeks, and he'd end up writing important mathematical papers with the people, and then they'd get published, and that person would become kind of famous by association. And then the people would end up screaming at him because he was a bad house guest and was on speed all the time, and then he'd go live with someone, lecture somewhere else, and start the thing over. And he'd written like 50 papers with different people. He pursued and proposed problems, solved problems in discrete mathematics, graph theory, number theory, mathematical analysis, approximation theory, set theory, and probability theory. Much work centered around discrete mathematics, cracking many previously unsolved problems in the field. You should go watch the documentary about him. There's a documentary about Paul Erdos, and figure out what your Erdos number is.
I'm really surprised I haven't heard of him, or at least don't know of him, because if he's working, doing stuff in probability and set theory and number theory, I would have thought I would have come across him.
There could be an argument that Bitcoin wouldn't exist without him, but I don't really know that. It just sounds right. when I said, yeah, that's who Phil...
There could be an argument. Did you just like decide that, yeah, it's possible?
Hey, if I told you guys, after what I just told you,
argument yet.
After what I just told you guys, if I said, yeah, there's a footnote about him in Satoshi's original white paper for Bitcoin, you'd say, that makes sense.
Oh, that's what right? I'm saying. Okay. Okay, so...
I'm not trying to trick you guys. I'm actually surprised when I said that's who Phil cried when Erdos died, and he said, sure. I thought he was serious. Yeah. I've had it in the Fiends notes for like a year to talk about Paul Erdos and finally found a reason. So there.
Yeah, nice. I applaud that. That makes me happy.
I turned you on to a new mathematician who's insane. He's so interesting, man. Yeah, you got to check him out. He was on like pharmaceutical speed, like some doctor in Hungary and then some doctor in America like just prescribed amphetamine to him for like 50 years. And he said it allowed him to see mathematics clearly and like visualize it in space in front of him, like actual, you know, things in the air.
Nice. Well, dude,
so he's hallucinating. Excellent.
The first person to give an example of a non-trivial, totally disconnected topological space. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm. What? I don't know what that means, but I'm sending the Wikipedia page so you can put it in the notes. Thank I don't know you. How to do these little.
I was
going to
ask you. I don't even know how do you spell Erdos.
It's E R with a weird umlauty thing over the O. I hope this comes through in the email. So if it doesn't, I'll fix it in the show notes. So anyway, speaking of badly applied mathematics, Facebook. Let's talk about Facebook. Oh, well, Phil's like rubbing his nipples and reading the Paul Erdos Wikipedia page. He's gone for
Can
the rest of the
that
show.
On radio?
At 2:43 a.m. on the East Coast, I think so. Are you still looking at the page, Phil?
No comment.
You almost made me spit water on my computer, man. All right, so Jeremy, pull up that article about Facebook, please.
I still have
Phil's
it
gone. Up, so. This is gonna have to be you and me. All right, go ahead.
So we started touching on this much earlier. There was an article from The Guardian titled "Revealed: Facebook's Internal Rulebook on Sex, Terrorism, and Violence." And apparently the Guardian got,
Okay, hang on a sec. In 1971, a friend of him bet him $500 he couldn't stop taking amphetamines for a month. He won the bet, but complained that during his abstinence, mathematics in the world had been set back by a month. After he won the bet, he promptly resumed his amphetamine use. He said that during the abstinence, when he looked at a blank piece... Oh, on amphetamines, he'd look at a blank piece of paper, and it was filled with ideas. Now all I see is a blank piece of paper when he was off amphetamines. So, yeah, speed built math, apparently.
Speed built math.
Is that the show title?
I think it is.
Yeah. I'll bet Satoshi knew who this guy was. Seems like he would.
Almost definitely. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's cryptography applications of his findings. Yeah. All right. So, Facebook. Sorry.
So, anyway, yeah. So, apparently, the Guardian, it's according to this, it says the Guardian has seen more than 100 internal training manuals, spreadsheets, and flowcharts that give unprecedented insight into
who
the
leaked
blueprints.
These? Who's the.
I don't know.
Who's the. Who got released recently? The army person that used to be a boy and is
Chelsea
now a girl.
Manning.
Yeah, we're glad. Thank you for your service, Chelsea. So who's the Chelsea of Facebook? They're probably still working there, whoever released these papers.
Probably. Phil's reading
about Paul Erdos. Phil's watching the movie on Netflix about Erdos.
So where was I? Into the blueprints Facebook has used to moderate issues such as violence, hate speech, terrorism, pornography, racism, and self-harm. There are even guidelines on match fixing and cannibalism.
What's match fixing? Oh, fixing.
I don't know.
It's gambling. It's fixing a match.
Oh,
like,
there
you
go.
Paying someone to throw a dive. All right.
Yeah.
So the show title is going to be Rubbing His Nipples to Paul Erdos.
That works.
And just use a picture of Phil. No, use a picture of Paul Erdos.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Hi, have you heard about Bipcoin? Not Bitcoin, but Bipcoin. Bravo, India, Papa, Coin. Bipcoin is a new cryptocurrency that you can start mining today for free on ordinary computers. Unlike most altcoins, Bipcoin is not a clone of Bitcoin. Bipcoin is based on entirely new, more recent, and better code called CryptoNote. So unlike Bitcoin, Bipcoin has truly untraceable transactions, does not require specialized mining rigs, and has adaptive limits. Plus, Bipcoin is the only cryptocurrency covered by the BIPCOT no government license. This allows use and reuse by anyone except governments and government agents. If you're still kicking yourself in the head for not getting in on the ground floor of Bitcoin, start mining, using, and trading Bipcoin today.
Not a guarantee.
Mining Bipcoin costs you nothing but the electricity to run your computer. And we already take Bipcoin for stickers and buttons. Go to bipcoin.org. That's bipcoin.org. Once again, that's Bravo, India, Papa, Coin.org.
Gotta watch it. It's good. I'm putting his head on a naked cracker. Putting his head on a naked... Isn't this a naked back guy you sent me?
With pictures of
football players?
Shirtless.
Yeah, well, he's going to be shirtless with Paul Erdos' head in a moment here.
Another show title for the future, if you haven't used
what?
It already. Putting his head on a naked fat guy.
Yeah. All right. Mm-hmm. So you got more on... See, here's my problem with this whole thing about Facebook. I think that Facebook is going to start blocking with this new methodology that they're, you know, basically what happened was some guy was streaming live on Facebook and walked up to someone and killed them. And it went out on Facebook and people copied it. And Facebook does not want that to happen again. So my problem is, okay, if a cop comes up to you and starts messing with you and you're filming it and putting it on Facebook, is Facebook going to stop that feed? You know, are they going to stop the girlfriend live streaming on Facebook, her boyfriend being murdered by police? I think they are. That's a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, if they're going to try to be, if they try to be consistent in any way about this whole violence thing, then yeah, they would have to if they're going to.
There is a solution, though. What is it, Jeremy? You're using it right now.
Cell 411.
Yep.
It's a much
Cell 411 is if someone steals your, first of all, there's nothing on the other end that's going to stop it. You know, if you're streaming that, and it's made for that, it's made for streaming cop abuse and having a record. And if the cop or some Antifa or anybody takes your phone and stomps it and throws it in the river, all of the footage you filmed up to that point is going to be available for you on the Cell 411 servers. And we like them, so we talk about them. So that's cool.
Yes.
Use them. If you use them, oh, we can't talk about that yet. Anyway, you should have used one recently. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've got a few Cell 411 groups up here in the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah.
So we're making use of it up here.
There's none here. None in Wyoming. No, there's a couple. They're rare. They're few and far between, but
you know where there are some.
Where?
Belle Fouche.
Yeah.
I actually have no idea.
You just wanted to welcome Belle Fouche. You just want to say Belle Fouche.
I try to welcome Belle Fouche at least once per show.
Yeah, you don't welcome any other stations, but you just love saying Belle Fouche, South Dakota.
I do. I love Belle Fouche.
Yeah, we should go there. We should go there and, like, you know, do a live broadcast. Well, you know, there's something that Free Talk Live does sometimes is they do a live broadcast from the station that is their affiliate in that town. I've heard them do that before. Nice. They actually were in, I think they did a week from Santa Cruz, California one time. And, you know, I'll bet the station in Belle Fouche. I don't know, though. I don't know if they really have it. Yeah, they have a morning show, so they do have a studio. They have a drive time. The guy who runs the station does the drive time. And wouldn't you, if you owned a station, wouldn't you have a show on it? Of course you would.
Of course I would.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why you buy a station. That's why I want to buy a station.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Oh, man. This picture is really disturbing.
Perfect.
Yeah. What is this from? The Water Boy?
The Water Boy.
So who is this in this picture?
He's the one of the, I can't remember, one of the defensive coach, maybe the defensive coordinator, who's just like a crazy backwoods hick, and he speaks, and when he talks you can't really understand him because he kind of mumbles and talks all fast and with a Cajun accent. But this is kind of a couple times in the movie they catch him doing this thing where he's rubbing his nipples like that. So when, as soon as you said that, it's the first image that popped into my head.
Yeah. So real quick, some liberty. Why is government bad? Who's going to take it? Why shouldn't you love the government? Why shouldn't you trust the government?
Well, because, you know.
You got 1 minute.
Make well, I mean, as much as I'm not supposed to talk about things, you know, it fails at its number one purpose, which is supposed to be protecting property rights. And any place in any state where there's ever an issue where castle doctrine becomes an issue or a question, that means government's already failed at its number one purpose.
Yeah.
You even have to have that debate because they're automatically not protecting property rights if you even have to have that question.
Yeah. Good point.
So that's a pretty big reason, I think, that government just doesn't work out.
Yep. Yeah, they actually weakened castle doctrine in Wyoming. There was a big thing a while back where the head DA, like the state attorney and the DA in Casper, got together and pushed through a bill to weaken castle doctrine while saying it strengthened castle doctrine. It's weird. Castle doctrine, for people that don't know, is basically coverage if you have to shoot somebody in self-defense, sometimes on your property, or sometimes it extends to the public or your car or other places.
Yeah.
Yeah. Florida started it.